From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where voters are casting their ballots in an historic election to decide who their next mayor will be, City Councilors Michelle Wu or Anissa Asaibi George. Either candidate will be the city's first woman and first person of color elected to the office. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks has been following the mayor's race and the final push by the candidates. He joins us now. Hey, Anthony, how's it going?
Hey, Paris, it's going well. Nice to hear you.
So give us a sense of where this race stands right now and the level of excitement around this historical election.
Well, as you know, this election's a big deal. I mean, for 200 years, this city has only elected white men to lead City Hall. But today, they will elect one of two women, as you mentioned, both of whom identify as people of color. So this represents a huge development for Boston, and one that, it's fair to say, is overdue. In terms of excitement, well, Secretary of State William Galvin predicted yesterday relatively low voter turnout today. So the candidates have been urging their supporters to get to the polls. So here's Michelle Wu in Chinatown yesterday.
We need everyone to come out to vote. That is the most important message today to ensure that every single person has the means to get to the ballot box and make their voices heard.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I live right across the street from my precinct and I haven't been there yet. So I'm going to get on that.
Get out and vote. It's important.
So, Anthony, Michelle Wu has led in a series of polls and she goes into today's election very much the front runner. What explains that? And what was Asaibi George's closing message to her supporters in light of that?
Well, this is an election that really reflects a changing Boston, a city that's more diverse, younger, more progressive, with a growing immigrant population. And Michelle Wu, who, as you suggest, has been leading in the polls, has really been able to capitalize on that. She's offering this sweeping progressive agenda that includes free public transportation, universal pre-K, and a citywide Green New Deal. It's also worth noting that in four city council elections going back to 2013 and the recent preliminary election last month, she has beaten Asaibi George. So she sort of has this built-in support already in place. Asaibi George is very much the moderate in this race. Her support is older, whiter, a little more conservative. She's focused on improving schools, public safety, and the crisis of homelessness and addiction at Mass and Cass. And I caught up with her in Roxbury yesterday, where she was in the middle of a 24-hour push to rally her supporters.
I'm sensing a great deal of excitement and momentum. I don't spend much time looking at those polls because those are the same polls that had me in third and fourth place going into the preliminary.
So just a note, we're taping this in the morning, but we should know who the next mayor is by tonight. And Anthony, what's the biggest challenge that the new mayor will face, whoever she is?
Well, the most immediate challenge is whoever wins will have just 2 weeks to assemble a team and take over leadership at City Hall. The next mayor will be sworn in on November 16th, so that's not a lot of time. And the challenge will be to both address some of the campaign promises while keeping the city running. The challenge will also be to transform an aspirational campaign into a working plan to govern the city. For example, some of Wu's plans, including making the T free and reinstituting a form of rent control, would require action by the state. Other plans, such as relocating money from the Boston Police Department to other programs, could face resistance from powerful political constituencies like the police unions. So, bottom line, the two-week transition won't allow for much of a honeymoon for the next mayor, whoever she will be.
All right, that's WBUR's senior political reporter Anthony Brooks helping us check in on this historic Boston election. Thanks so much, Anthony.
My pleasure, Paris.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Suffolk County Sheriff officials say they're ironing out delays and other issues in the first so-called community response court session. The session, which is being held at the county jail, is aimed at getting people out of the Mass and Cass encampment in Boston South End and into treatment or services. But on the session's first day, two men who were brought in on outstanding criminal warrants were denied requests for treatment, with the presiding judge saying that they had to have their warrants reviewed by the judges who issued them. Anthony Benedetti is with the state's public defender agency. He says the way things went on day one have him concerned.
There was nothing there, no medical supplies to offer any sort of stabilization if anyone needed it or wanted it. And that was the main reason given for this court.
Benedetti says he'll continue to monitor the court session. In other news, local healthcare workers are getting ready to give kids the Pfizer pediatric COVID vaccine. Doses started arriving at Northern Berkshire Pediatrics in North Adams yesterday. Here's clinical manager Jacqueline Latimer opening the package containing them.
Inside is an ultra cold freezer, which then has a monitor inside, and it's on dry ice just to keep it, you know, at the coldest temperature possible.
The North Adams Clinic plans to begin vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds on Wednesday night, pending CDC approval. And finally, Harvard's fight to keep the photos of two enslaved people is headed to the state's highest court. The 170-year-old daguerreotypes were commissioned by a Harvard naturalist seeking to prove that black and white people are biologically different. The subjects of the images were taken from their homes against their will and photographed nude. Connecticut resident Tamara Lanier says that rights to the images should be handed over to the enslaved people's descendants, like herself. Civil rights lawyer Ben Crump represents Lanier and says that Harvard has no moral claim to the images.
It would offend all concepts of equity and justice to leave the daguerreotypes in Harvard's unclean hands.
Harvard doesn't dispute that the images show an ugly chapter in its history, but argues that Lanier hasn't shown why the rights should go to her. Whew, this raises a very important question, not only about Harvard's history, but also who the gatekeepers of that history are. We'll be sure to keep an eye on this one. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since our history and constantly untangling it, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Another show here at WBUR that's very dear to my heart. And why is that, you ask? Well, because I used to work on it. That show is WBUR's Radio Boston, our local daily news magazine, and it's another way to get a whole bunch of information about what's happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.